You're listening to a special feature from The Phonecast, where we take you behind the scenes of the mobile phone industry.
Hello, I'm Mark Bridge from thephonecast.com. Just a few weeks ago, Wi-Fi was made available on a number of London Underground stations. We're now up to around 40 tube stations and something like 100,000 unique users. Yet mobile coverage still stops when you go down the escalator. To find out exactly why there's such a problem and what some of the solutions are, I'm joined on the line by Ian Brown, CEO of Axel Wireless. Ian, welcome to the Phonecast.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Now, before we go into detail, could you just give me a little bit of a background to Axel? Where exactly does the company fit into the mobile industry?
Okay, we're wireless coverage experts. So we provide products and solutions that enable wireless signals, a variety of different types, to work in confined spaces. And a confined space for us is a building, a tunnel, a metro, a transportation device such as a train or even an aeroplane. We're a British company. We're very international. We operate from 14 offices around the world. We're one of the world leaders in this technology and have been for some 30-odd years. We primarily provide solutions for two types of audience. One is the public safety market. So, for example, there is a need for the emergency services to have communications operating in tunnels and metros and so forth. Indeed, you can't, in mainland Europe now, open a road tunnel without having a proper public communications network so that the emergency services can operate in there if so required. And then the second area is cellular coverage. And there's been a huge amount of demand here, really driven by two things. One is that mobile phone traffic in total now, some 80% of mobile phone traffic now emanates from within a building. So people are now using their mobile phones more within buildings and in places like metros than they are necessarily out in the countryside. Huge change from 10 years ago when people, when they were within a building, would use a fixed line and use their mobile outside the building. And of course, one of the big drivers there has been the mass proliferation of smartphones. And smartphones obviously have brought with them data applications, and data applications don't work very well if you have low signal levels. You have to have good coverage. And so, you know, in essence, everyone is using smartphones whilst they're, it is quite understandable, operating with it within a building or when they're at Starbucks rather than necessarily wandering around the countryside. So we're providing coverage systems to enable both cellular communications and public safety communications to work in these wide range of confined spaces.
Exactly how do you extend coverage within a building, within a railway tunnel?
In essence, there's two basic methods. If there is signal around the building or around the tunnel, there is coverage around it, then we are picking that signal up off air and bringing it into a box of electronics, and I'm describing this quite simply. It's obviously a lot more complex than that, but in simple terms, we're bringing it into a box of electronics that filters, cleans up, and amplifies the signal before then propagating it out around some kind of radio distribution system within the building. That distribution system is normally referred to as a DAS, a distributed antenna system. Okay, that's one way in which we would bring a signal into a building. The other way is actually to directly connect to a base station. So within the building, we'll have some kind of hub device, and there will be a direct fiber connection from that hub device to a base station, which could be 10 kilometers or so away, indeed could be connecting to a number of base stations. So there's a variety of methods in which you can bring the signal in, either directly from a base station or off air. And it just depends on how much coverage you've got, how much capacity you've got in the air, as to which philosophy that you follow.
Okay, so the technology exists, we know it works. Why is it taking so long for us to see it in this country, on the London Underground?
I can tell you, I mean, Axel's been involved in putting these systems into over 100 metros around the world. Indeed, we have one of our customers, the Hong Kong Metro, where the system, I think, has been operating there for almost 20 years, the cellular coverage system. So it is a well-trodden path. It is perfectly feasible. There's lots of design issues around metros because metros themselves are quite complex environments to work in. Space is very limited. There is environmental challenges. So there are some key design rules about how you should do it and how you shouldn't do it. But certainly the technology absolutely exists. In terms of London, we have worked with Airways, who are the national public safety operator here in the UK, provide the emergency services communication for the police and the fire service and so forth, to put public safety coverage into large amounts in the underground, which, by the way, didn't exist. You know, you go back to the sort of 7/7 incident and even beyond that, it was very, very patchy, which is why on that dreadful day, Axel was asked by the authorities to provide some emergency coverage within the metro stations and within the tunnels to allow the emergency services to communicate whilst they were helping people that had been injured and so forth as a result of the bombings. But since then, there is now more extensive public safety communication throughout the metro. But so far, the various, I think, probably more political and maybe financial reasons, it hasn't happened for cellular, which is a great shame, especially with this year being 2012 and, you know, huge amount of people coming to London to see the games, and many of them coming from cities where they're used to operating, used to being able to use their mobile phone devices whilst they're travelling around the city. I mean, it's staying in touch, figuring out where to go and so forth.
From what you've said, Ian, it doesn't sound like the mobile networks need to be particularly involved. Does this mean, for example, it's possible for London Underground, for Transport for London, to negotiate some sort of maybe commercial sponsorship and arrange to rebroadcast an existing signal themselves?
Well, you have to understand that the airwaves themselves are owned, in the sense the right to use those airwaves are owned by the operators. You know, you can't just pick up a signal off air and propagate it around your building without the permission of the mobile phone operator, especially, I would say, in this country. In other countries, it's more liberal, and indeed, you can do that. But in the UK, the regulations are such that the right to propagate signals around operating in a certain frequency spectrum is clearly owned by the operators. So you do need to involve them in the solution. And from my experience, they're very happy to be involved in the solution. After all, you know, a large proportion of their subscriber base are going to be using the metro and the services. So why wouldn't they want to extend that service to them? It just makes logical sense for them.
Indeed. In a perfect world, then, if all the authorities and the networks decided that, yes, they had a commercial model to put mobile coverage into the London Underground, how quickly would you say could it be done?
Well, I mean, London is a huge metro, and one of the constraints is obviously having access to the tunnels to work in and install the systems, because you would have to, in order to provide coverage into the tunnels, you'd have to install a certain kind of antenna system, which in the case of London, probably the most suitable one is something called a radiating cable, which would be fed from a fiber optic remote device, which is the equipment that we provide. So obviously that means in order to work in the tunnel, you have to shut the tunnel for a period of time. And obviously the tube network runs, you know, not quite 24/7, but, you know, it runs a long period of time, and there's health and safety restrictions and so forth. But this is not uncommon. It's exactly the same in many other metros around the world. And you just have to make sure the process is well planned, and you've got competent people, and people know how to do it at speed. And then you systematically work your way through the network.
Other than that cable running down the tunnels, what other major infrastructure work is required to get cellular coverage on the underground?
Moving on to, you know, what is the best way to achieve these things, the standard way that most metro organisations do this is they work with the mobile operators to create what is referred to as a base station hotel location or locations. Because obviously by putting extra coverage into the metro, the chances are that the operators will need to provide extra capacity because there's going to be more demand on their services. If people are able to use those services, you know, they're going to be pulling capacity and downloading things, which would stretch the existing base station network. And it's the same in any other city. So what most people tend to do is put together a base station hotel, which is located away from the metro organizations. One of the big design things about putting coverage systems into metros is minimize the amount of equipment you have to put in the metro environment. Why? Because space is very limited, power is normally very limited, and it's also environmentally challenging for equipment. Quite often you have huge extremes of temperature in metro environments. It can be quite a dirty environment, which is not good for electronic equipment. And then the other design thing is the equipment that you do put into the metro, you need to make sure is ruggedized and built for the purpose. So, you know, you don't want to use, for example, equipment that uses fans, because fans circulate air, and in metro environments, there's a lot of dirty air. You don't see it, but, you know, you get brake dust and other things flying around, and that electronic components don't react very well with that. So those are the sort of, at a high level, the two big design things. Minimize the amount of equipment you put in the metro. You tend to do that by putting all the base stations in a nice air-conditioned base station hotel somewhere, and then you distribute the coverage via a distributed antenna system, which is, for example, the systems that we provide and where we're one of the world leaders in. And the way you do that is you have fiber optic connections from the base station hotel to each of the metro stations, where you then have equipment that is then connected to a radiating cable that radiates the signal, leaks the signal around the metro station itself and into the tunnel.
And because you've got coverage on the station and the tunnel, there's not going to be a sudden overload when people come out of the tunnel, which is something that was discovered in tests.
One of the other benefits of having all the base stations in a hotel and have it distributed via a DAS system is you can then move the capacity around when you need it. So if you think of this as a big distribution system, on some days, certain metro lines are going to be more busy than others. You know, there's obviously going to be the peak traveling to work period and going home from work. But then at the weekend on Sunday, I don't know if there's some big match on, and maybe where people are typically going to a football stadium, you know, you might want to direct the majority of the capacity to that line. And that's one of the beauties, the other sort of big spin-off benefits of having equipment in a base station hotel, because then you can direct it around this DAS, this distributed antenna system, in a manner that suits the traffic flows. The alternative approach, which 90% of metro organizations don't follow, is you put base stations in each of the metro stations themselves. But of course, the problem is then you have to put a base station in that can accommodate with the maximum capacity that you're ever going to need in that station. And that makes it very expensive, because you typically then have to over-specify the base station, which, as I say, is why by far the majority of metro organizations and mobile operator consortiums, when they're designing these things, adopt the base station hotel approach, then connect it into a DAS system, a distributed DAS system, such as the one from Axel, and then that is used to propagate the signal around the whole of the metro environment, allowing you to switch and move traffic around and capacity around.
It sounds as though that gives an awful lot of flexibility. You were talking there about some of the challenges. You've mentioned previously that one of your systems is in Hong Kong, in the metro there. Where else would we perhaps see a high-profile Axel wireless system?
Beijing, Singapore, Stockholm, Barcelona, Los Angeles. I mean, the list is very long. This is a market we've been involved in for, as I say, well over 20 years. We are, in terms of the overall coverage market, one of the leaders in terms of metros. We probably are certainly the leading European player in that space. We have some very innovative technology, which is a whole other subject, that makes our equipment best suited to this sort of environment. You know, one of the other things is the equipment that you put into the metro itself. You want to be very compact, because generally when metros were designed, people didn't think about, well, actually, where could I put all the sort of IT or communications equipment? So it needs to be of a certain size. You don't want to put huge, great boxes in and so forth. And it needs to be very ruggedized, which all of ours is. So, yeah, this is a market we very much understand. And we hope that one day we'll be given the opportunity to put it into London.
And in terms of the growth of your market, there seems pretty much to be a relatively finite number of metro lines. What are XL Wireless's plans for the future? Where's the expansion going to come from?
Metros is part of our business, is an important part of our business. But I mean, as I said, we also put coverage systems in buildings. I mean, for example, we've put the system into Terminal 5 at Heathrow. We recently also putting the system in the Shard, actually, both for public safety and the cellular communication system in that building. We've also done projects like that. We put it in the Pentagon. We put it in the Burj Khalifa Tower in Dubai, the Royal Palaces in Amman. We are one of the leaders in the market for doing this sort of thing. So, and metros, once the system is in the metro, it's not like it's never touched again, because metros, we find, tend to evolve. There's always extensions to lines being done. And in addition, the mobile operators themselves are introducing additional services. I mean, at the moment here in the UK, you know, the maximum service you can get is 3G, but you may well have heard of 4G LTE services, which is going to provide even faster capacity, essentially mobile broadband on your mobile phone. That'll be rolled out. And then I'm sure that beyond that, you know, there'll be a 5G. So there's always additional services that operators and infrastructure organisations are looking to put into their establishments. So it evolves.
It certainly does, and it's an exciting future that you're evolving into. Ian, thank you ever so much for your time. If anybody wants to learn more about XL Wireless, where should they go?
We've got a very good website. It's axelwireless.com, and from there you can make contact with a variety of different people. In February, 14 offices around the world, so you don't have to speak English if you don't want to. We've got lots of different nationalities in the company, and yes, we'd be very, very happy to talk to any of your listeners.
That's great, Ian. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you again to Ian Brown of XL Wireless. The company is online at axellwireless.com.
You've been listening to a special feature from the Phonecast, keeping you up to date with the mobile phone industry. To listen online or to download each broadcast automatically, head for our website, thefonecast.com, where you'll discover an RSS feed, an iTunes link, and a built-in audio player. If you're using a mobile phone, you'll find our mobile website at the same address. It'll automatically identify the handset you're using, and we'll tailor the information to fit the screen. We also produce regular news updates in a separate podcast every Wednesday morning. You'll find this one on our website, on the mobile news website at mobilenewscwp.co.uk, and on the Independent Mobile Phone Dealers Association website at impda.co.uk. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back with all the latest industry news on Wednesday.